You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Derek Jarman was a pioneering artist whose work was unapologetic and defiant. The artist's place as an influential gay rights activist is cemented in his work that survives him. 30 years after Jarman passed away from complications relating to AIDS, his work will be exhibited in Aotearoa for the first time. Derek Jarman, Delphinium Days, co-curated by Lisa Beauchamp, curator of contemporary art at Gus Fisher Gallery, City Gallery Wellington senior curator Aaron Lister, and Michael Lett, opens at Gus Fisher Gallery on the 15th of June. Nicholas spoke to co-curator Lisa Beauchamp about the landmark exhibition.
So Derek Jarman was born in 1942 in Northwood, London, and as a child, he actually lived in Italy for a bit and kind of overseas because his father, Lancelot, was an officer in the RAF. So a kind of interesting connection to Aotearoa is that Derek Jarman's father was born in Canterbury. So he's got this, his whakapapa connects to here, and that's something that initially was kind of important in early conversations about the exhibition here and kind of highlighting that connection, which a lot of people don't know, yet it does influence or has influenced Derek's work and can be seen in kind of referenced in some of his writing and in his paintings as well. So Derek himself was born in Northwood, and then, there's so much to say about his life. He went to art school and trained as a painter, and then, began kind of making films and kind of working with other film producers. So he worked with Ken Russell on the film The Devils, and then began experimenting, particularly with Super 8 film. So it was a very early kind of mode, and he experimented with filmmaking from like the early 70s, and then of course began to produce his own feature-length films, of which, I suppose a lot of people are kind of most familiar with. So amazing works like Caravaggio, Blue, The Garden. And throughout all of that, he continued to paint. He was a prolific writer. He designed kind of theatre stage sets. He did installation. And of course, he was an incredible gardener as well. So kind of lasting legacy and an incredibly important legacy is Prospect Cottage and his garden at Dungeness on the southeast coast of Kent. And that's something that continues to thrive and people can continue to visit it from all over the world. It's kind of like make a pilgrimage to Derek Jarman's garden. Activism was a key part of his life. So, growing up, he realized, he mentioned his kind of Catholic upbringing a lot and going to Catholic school and, his identity as a gay man and as a gay man living in a very conservative climate in Britain, particularly with the reign of Margaret Thatcher's government, and which helped to instill a real climate of fear, particularly in relation, a lot of homophobia and particularly in relation to HIV and AIDS. So Derek was diagnosed as HIV positive in 1986, and that was the same year that he bought his cottage in Dungeness. And he was incredibly influential in the way that he was a very early advocate for the rights of queer communities and for those living with HIV at a time when it was seen as there wasn't any cure, any assistance, and you know, the tabloid press, particularly in Britain, was the vitriol that they created was, and the fear and the hatred against this disease and the misconceptions was, they fueled that very much so. I mean, Derek did so much. He, you know, his activism and his biography, his life very much fed into all of his work. And he was also the first public figure in the UK to be very open and speak openly about his HIV diagnosis and everything that came with that. So he was someone that many people looked up to, and he was incredibly courageous, being so open about his diagnosis, and fought the illness for a number of years, but sadly passed away to AIDS-related illnesses in February 1994.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it there. I did want to ask about kind of the socio-political environment that he was operating out of, which you touched on, but how do you think that was reflected in the work he made, especially around activism?
I think it's absolutely central. I mean, some of the paintings that we're showing, a couple of them are from the last painting series that he produced, which was called Evil Queen, and that followed a series called Queer in 1992, whereby he created these huge canvases, and he lined the base of those canvases with pages from tabloid newspapers, so replicating those horrendous tabloids, and then he painted over them and kind of scrawled words, and so they became central to, you know, the material and the kind of conceptual outlook of his work, you know. So he was, the activism was part of everything, you know, that his work was challenging and commenting on. So two of the pieces in our show are works that he produced very, very near the end of his life. When he was losing his eyesight, and had to, you know, had assistance in making those works. And yeah, I've had the privilege of seeing Derek Jarman's paintings in the flesh, and I can't kind of convey like the rawness and energy and the anger that you can sense. Kind of, they're just screaming kind of off the canvas. And I think people will really get a sense of the climate he was working in, and just the courage and the bravery that his, you know, his work kind of communicates.
100%. And you spoke about paintings there. Derek Jarman's kind of, I guess, most famously known for his film or his work in film. But there are other mediums in this exhibition. Can you talk about the other mediums that he worked in that will be a part of these exhibitions and these shows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're doing a show of Derek Jarman, there's so much to choose from. You know, it's a really tough job to kind of edit down. So what we've done with this show is really look at a kind of focus on his painting and film, and to really, you know, highlight the crossover between those two mediums. And I think, yeah, you're right that his film is possibly more well known, particularly his feature film. So what we're really showcasing in the exhibition is we've got some very large-scale paintings. We've also got a large series of his black and tar paintings, some of which he made on-site at Dungeness. And then we're pairing that with a couple of Super 8 films. So these films are from his kind of early Super 8 kind of experimentation in the 70s. So people will be less familiar with that kind of part of his film practice. And then also accompanying that in the show will be, we've got lots of really amazing photography. So Howard Suley, who is a close friend and photographer, was actually integral to the kind of early days of helping Derek with his garden and advising him on plants and driving him to plant nurseries and things like that. But also his photographs of Derek in the garden, but also some incredible portraits and documentation of Prospect Cottage. They will sit alongside Derek's work, kind of extending that narrative around his practice and the context he was working in. And then alongside the exhibition, but very much how I'm kind of seeing part of the show, is a really extensive public program. And as part of that, we're going to be working with the Capitol Cinema to screen a series of Jarman's feature films. So we'll be doing dedicated screenings of films like Blue, The Garden, and a few others, where people can, you know, come and visit the show, and then on a select date they can go and watch one of his films in a cinema setting, which I think will be really amazing.
That's so awesome. And I did kind of want to talk about this because it is a collaboration between City Gallery of Wellington and Gus Fisher as well. And the exhibition will take different forms at the different venues. Can you talk a little bit about why that decision was made and how that choice kind of adds to the experience of these different venues?
Yeah, I mean, we've both got very different spaces, essentially. So, I think it was always conceived as a kind of collaboration, and it's been very collaborative, the working process. So the show is co-curated by myself, Aaron Lister, and Michael Lett. And obviously we're all huge fans of Jarman. Yeah, so the City Gallery show, which is taking place at the Douse, that will actually include Blue as part of the exhibition. So there will be a dedicated space for Blue. So whereas people can experience Blue as kind of one-off screening, cinema screening in Auckland, in Wellington, they will be that will form part of the exhibition experience. So I think that's really special. And in Auckland, you know, we've got an additional painting that people will be able to see here, and also the really extensive public program as well. So there'll be lots of I think. It will be, I think there will be a lot of the same work across both venues. But again, you know, I think there will be a different experience as well. And I think that's really, really nice, and just really communicates the breadth of Jarman's practice.
That was Nicholas speaking to Lisa Beauchamp, the co-curator of Derek Jarman Delphinium Days, which opens at Gus Fisher Gallery next week on the 15th of June.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.